Hello, Cancer, and welcome to your 2014 spring reading. My name is Eric Francis. I am an astrologer. I have Cancer rising, so this is a little bit of reading for me also. Here's what I got to say to you. There is, as you probably know, a grand cross in the heavens right now. There's a lot of planets, minor planets, all that. It's almost always a grand cross, but what I mean is a grand cross of the classical planets and the first ever modern planet, Uranus. So this is a grand cross comprised of a bunch of really old factors. Jupiter, Mars, Pluto, one of the other modern planets, Uranus. All very well established energies in astrology. And by that, I mean that they represent things that people experience and are familiar with, and that all astrologers, except maybe some guys in India, use. And this is a very unusual grand cross because it involves Mars retrograde. It is really precise, and it is, though many will perceive it and are perceiving it as being perilous and all that, it is a gem. At the same time, there is a grand trine going on. The grand trine involves many classical planets and very well-established modern planets. For example, Jupiter in your sign, that's as old as the hills, and Jupiter is exalted in your sign. Jupiter, your sign, Cancer, is ruled by the moon, but the deeper anchor into existence and into society and the stabilizing factor of Cancer is actually the planet Jupiter. And so for all these festivities, Jupiter is in your sign. Then the next water sign over is Scorpio. That has Saturn. That too is considerably older than the Himalayas. The next water sign and last water sign is Pisces. That contains a nice diversity, including Neptune, what's considered a modern planet, Chiron, considered a kind of very modern minor planet, and Venus, also exalted in its sign. So we get a grand cross, very powerful grand cross, simultaneously with a grand trine. And what is so cool about the way the sign Cancer lines up with all of this is that the one thing the grand cross and the grand trine have in common is Jupiter in Cancer. So this puts you in the position of a kind of a hub of a lot else that's going on, of pretty much everything else that is going on. But it's kind of unusual because the hub is off to the side. So it's not exactly like the middle of a wheel, but it's sort of like the DJ area at a party where the DJ's off to one side of the room, but that's where the sound system is. That's where that's the thing that everything connects to, whether it be, electrically through the speakers or emotionally and psychically through the music. So you're kind of like in the DJ booth at this party that is going on. Or you could even think of it as the bar. That might be more appropriate considering that it's Jupiter. And with Jupiter in your sign, you are in a pretty good position. There's really no compromises placed on Jupiter. It's not like it's a square Saturn or something, and its ability to be itself, its ability to expand and to be itself, right, is compromised in some way. In fact, it's trine Saturn in Scorpio. That's pretty nice. And it's picking up trines off of a whole beautiful group of planets, which I didn't mention, Nessus and Pisces also, and Neptune and Chiron and Venus, all in Pisces. So that Jupiter in your sign is being fed by all kinds of water, water signs. So there's a lot there. There is a resource. The Grand Cross is a different kind of pattern. That is more provocative. That is more directly challenging. But the thing about Jupiter is that there's a lot of Jupiter to go around. It's a planet 1,200 times the size of the sun. So it's not like it can be that easily affected, really. And though it is in the middle of this, in exact alignment with these other planets in the cardinal signs, the signs opposite and at right angles to your sign, still in very good condition. I'd like to go through all these placements one at a time and just slowly build the picture for you, build the story, and then offer my interpretation, specifically message of the individual placements. I've talked a bit about Jupiter in your sign representing the hub and also representing an abundance of resources and an availability of resources, which I suggest you look into if you're not feeling abundant, figure out what that is about. Maybe there'll be some clues here. Let's take the cardinal cross first. So we've talked about Jupiter. This, the next planet along in the cardinal cross is Mars. Mars is in your solar fourth house, if you're counting yourself as a Cancer sun. It's in your whole sign fourth house if you're Cancer rising. I'm aware that if you know your natal chart, your specific house system may vary, but whole sign houses are a good old house system. They're really the first house system, and they still work just fine. They're the invention of the wheel with the houses. Before and after, whole sign houses was a big moment in astrology. And so in the fourth house is Mars, and Mars is retrograde. And Mars retrograde in the fourth house, really Mars in the fourth house anywhere, but especially retrograde, and especially making all these aspects, is raising the question of your personal security. Security of your home base, your emotions, the security that you feel or don't feel in your relationships. The fourth is a very emotional place. It's associated with childhood. It is what I would describe as the experiences of the child as they project themselves out into the life of the adult. It's the emotional being of the child within all of us who went through whatever he or she went through and made certain observations about the world, and then that is taken out into the life of an adult. And when Mars is retrograde in the fourth house, there can be a stirring up of childhood insecurities. There can be a sense of uncertainty. There can be really what amounts to a question of whether you trust existence. And part of that trust of existence is, do you really feel like you have the power to make the decisions in your life, or does someone else seem to have that power? Now, because I've done a fair amount of work in therapy, I've done a lot of astrology with people as well, and some spiritual training, I understand the whole business, or a chunk of it anyway, of the power of decision and how radical and revolutionary it can seem to claim that power back. Because after all, the people from whom you're claiming it back are not likely to be that thrilled about that fact. And so you then have to stand up to them on a second count. The fact that you want your power of decision and the fact that someone else is potentially objecting to that. The thing to remember is your power of decision is yours. It isn't anybody's, and it never was. If it was mistakenly reassigned on some level, or you didn't know what you were doing, the letter got delivered to your neighbor, so to speak, it's still yours. And you're within your rights to inwardly assert your power of decision and, when necessary, claim it back from others who seem to think that they have it. All right. So this is the, in a lot of ways, the worm turns on whether you feel safe. And I would suggest that at every turning point, every question you come up with, everything you encounter, every person you encounter, every relationship that you encounter, ask yourself whether you feel safe, why or why not, and what it would take to get you to feel safe, as in feel all the way safe. Because this is the it's almost like the heartbeat of your emotions right now. And Mars can be a bit troublesome in that it is an aggressive energy. It represents the emotions that people really don't know what to do too much with, like aggression, anger, resentment. Those kind of things are often contained in Mars. And here you've got them settling in your emotional body, and you're having to deal with this in a very personal way. And so one thing I suggest you do is you really take the time and effort to sort through your emotions and make sure that you feel, notice what you feel, and make sure that you respond appropriately to what you're feeling. Next notch out on the cardinal cross, an interesting one. The oldest placement of all of the planets I'm going to talk about today is Pluto in Capricorn. Pluto arrived Capricorn 2008, retrograded back into Sagittarius in late 2008, came back in 2009 in January, and basically since January 09 has been in Capricorn. And this is the placement that may be leading you to feel that it's very difficult to build your relationships on solid ground. That you have quite potentially lived in a state of constant change in your relationships and unpredictability. And in a world that always seems to be cracking and rearranging itself, and where nothing that worked in the past shows many signs of working in the present. And this has taken some focus, and it's a challenging transit. Pluto transits are some of the most challenging, and I would say that Pluto in the seventh is very challenging, particularly given your orientation as a Cancerian on wanting a home, wanting a family. And a lot of that comes from the seventh house of relationships, partnerships, and marriage, and your environment. Seventh and fourth are both home environment-oriented houses. Fourth has Mars in it. Seventh has Pluto in it. That's not very cozy. But what it's really doing, as indicated by Jupiter in your sign, is compelling you to find the home space, the safe space, the family space within yourself, and to become extraordinarily solid in who you are and in your understanding of the power of your commitment or your ability to make commitments, and also the necessity to make changes and to adapt to a changing environment. All of those are implied by this setup. Now, there's going to be a good few people with strong Cancer rising, sun or moon, who have had very little stability in their relationships in these years. And you may be wondering what on earth is going on. I would propose a couple of things here. One is that these years are really a demarcation point from the past. There is no going back. The way things were cannot be. Many things that you knew much earlier in your life could not be, don't really exist anymore. They are kind of gone. And that is, for the most part, I think, a positive development, because there were things you just simply could not live with. And if indeed it is necessary to separate out the whole concept of relationship and to deal with that in its entirety as a way to deal with the things that you had to change but did not know how to change, so be it. Because when you're done with this process, you will be much more solid and stable, and I believe will have absolute faith in your ability to exist within meaningful commitment. Society seems to have a lot of commitment issues. I would say that it really has issues around meaningful commitment. And you're looking for depth, and you're getting an experience of a kind of depth, although it may be dominantly an inner depth. Now, there's one other way to look at, many other ways, but one other that's really standing out way to look at Pluto and Capricorn, and that is as a profound experience of relationship, deeper, more impactful, more evolutionary than anything you've ever experienced. And even while that may be happening, it's worth noting how much change, how much movement, how much of the old order had to crumble, how different that experience is than what you had in the past. Even if it's a continuing story of a relationship that has found its voice or found its place, that too is different than anything you've experienced in the past. Now, I haven't mentioned this yet in any of these readings. Cancer is the fourth reading, and so far this is the first time I'm going to say the word Okero, which is a minor planet who is the child of Chiron and Kariklo, Kariklo being Chiron's partner. And Okero is a planet associated, among other things, with prophecy. All right. And the idea here, after much contemplation and several very late nights casting discovery charts of centaur planets, including Kariklo and Okero, is that it is important that you not attempt to predict the outcome of your relationships or of your relationship life. No matter what that condition might be, no matter what is going well or going poorly or is going unpredictably, what is going amazingly, what is going utterly horrendously, or what is going along in a way that you just simply don't understand. And I would say there's probably a good bit that you don't understand, because Pluto in Capricorn is all about the kinds of changes that we don't understand. It's all about something entirely new happening within ourselves and the breakdown of a kind of a traditional order that is very difficult for the people who are initially experiencing the breakdown. And Okero is cautioning not to get caught up in prediction, like feeling like, wow, I'm set forever, or oh my God, I'm doomed forever. This is proof that I'm, you know, finally I have proof that I'm unlovable. Whatever it might be, to not look ahead in a predictive manner, to not attempt to be a prophet. You can trust a couple of things, though. One of them is that the change that you're experiencing is both real and that it is necessary, and it always was necessary. And I would imagine that you have some real confirmation of that. this bit about tradition, I think, is pretty significant. Who's got Capricorn on the fourth house? That's Libra. I'm going to cover this again in Libra also. So here's the first of two kind of little presentations on the whole tradition thing. Humans really need tradition. The world is a very unpredictable place. The coasts are changing and the mountains are changing and the weather and the climate changes, and this has always been the way that it's been. And political regimes come and go, and big rich douchebags try to take over, and if we're not lucky, they kill a whole bunch of people, and if we are lucky, they don't kill a whole bunch of people. And the environment of the Earth is not entirely hospitable. And one of the ways that we deal with that is we structure our lives. And one of the ways we structure our lives is with tradition. Tradition involves marking the passage of time. It involves marking the passage into adulthood and various phases of life. In American culture, in European culture, one of the most vivid examples of a relationship to tradition can be found among Jews. They're very distinct and interesting, and I think for the most part, beautiful, useful traditions that many of the rest of us suffer for not having something a little bit like that. Not necessarily exactly like it, but a little bit like it. And this is one of the influences, by the way, that the Jewish tribe can have on the entire society. I always like it when I click on the B&H photo website and I get the holiday schedule. And they're not taking any orders after 3 o'clock on Friday, because you know it's Shabbos, and that's just how it is. And they're not fucking working on Saturday. They'll sell you shit till 3 p.m. on Friday, and they'll start selling you stuff again on Sunday morning. And they make plenty of money. And we live in a time of completely crumbling tradition, the use of time, the notion of having dinner, the post-dating society. Dating wasn't such great shakes, but it's now the post-dating society. I'm not saying that's any better or worse, but I'm saying it is different, and it is different in the context of a time of change. And all of this change of and transition of, transformation of tradition is impacting you very directly in the area of your relationships. And so all of the personal traditions that you had that were your framework for having relationships and for having a somewhat of a structure to your emotional life are not what they were. They're not what they used to be. They're not... everything's moving, everything's changing, and this can be deeply unsettling. And I would point out that that's one of the things that's going on for you. And I would also point out that in that time of your own inner orientation shifting and changing, and many things in society around us in parallel shifting and changing, there is a special opening for something different. And that something different can be the very thing that you want the most. I would keep your mind open to what that is and to the fact that it is eminently possible because so much is changing so fast. Okay, last point on the Grand Cross, part of a little collection which does repeat the theme of relationships, but the main planet involved is Uranus. Uranus was the first modern planet ever discovered. It was kind of the first invented planet, and it's the planet of invention and the planet of the scientific revolution, and it was prominent in the chart of the invention of the light bulb because Edison was having Uranus transit when he finally invented the light bulb after 1,000 tries. It was prominent in the chart of the first flight of an airplane conjunct the sun. And so Uranus is the inventor and the revolutionary and also an agent of change, as is Pluto. And so in these two areas of life, 10th house, career, reputation, and relationship, 7th house, you have these powerful agents of change. Now, one of the cool things about having Uranus in the 10th is that it's beckoning you, summoning you with all of its power to do something really interesting with your career, to embrace the differences of what you are doing and to really look at the ways in which you can make a radical contribution to the world in which you live. This may or may not involve an actual career change. It may involve the addition of something, partly depends upon your age. It may involve the invention of something, the taking of something that you are doing and then doing it in a completely different, more effective, more revolutionary way. It may involve being known for something very different. And one of the reasons why this transit of Uranus across the 10th house is so influential is because you have Pluto in the 7th. It's describing an environment that is not only changing, but it is ready for more change. There is more that is about to change, and it's going to be changing for a while because Pluto's going to be in there till something like 2024. Even though Uranus moves on, you're going to be living in this environment for a long time, and I suggest that you learn the process of this self-reinvention combined with integration into your environment. Nearly simultaneous process can seem to happen synchronistically, can seem to happen in this spontaneous way where you change and your environment is ready for change, or where you change and then you figure out a way to tap into the changes that are going on in the culture, utilizing the creative power of your mind. And I assure you that the combination of all these planets is greatly emphasizing the creative power of your mind. So all of this gets set up at once in an aspect that seems to take place on April 23rd, but is really kind of a watershed psychic moment for the human race. And so the chart, like a number of charts, will live on and be a map to consciousness and a map to the ways in which our culture is growing and changing and becoming, and tell you where you were at, and you can mark your progress against this particular moment. And I do suggest you have some way to record a snapshot or a map of or a time capsule of your life where you were at right now. I mean, do something like, excuse me, print out randomly 20 emails or save them and onto a file, and then your 20 favorite songs right now and a bunch of pictures of your life and your home or your apartment or your yard or where you like to hang out, who your friends are, and make yourself a little digital time capsule, because this is a before and after moment like very few that you have ever experienced. But I will repeat one point, the point that I began on, which is that much of whether this is something that you feel works for you or works against you has to do with whether you feel safe. And I would suggest that you do whatever it takes to feel safe, whatever it takes to feel grounded, to feel a sense of belonging, to feel as if you are able to be heard, and that even if you don't have power over certain people and things, which is rarely ever the case, that you understand what your lines of influence are, that you arrange the scene so that you know that you can be heard and so that you know that others in your life are aware of the fact that they are heard. And you can do this without compromising who you are. In fact, the whole point is to emphasize who you are. So this whole setup, all this, the placement of Jupiter and Pluto, Okoro, in your 7th and Uranus in your 10th are all being sparked off by this deep inner influence of Mars in your 4th house. This whole aspect pattern, especially for the sign Cancer, is an aspect pattern about being from the inside out. Change from the inside out. The reaction begins inside you. The chemical change, the change of values, the choice to think about fear and insecurity a different way so that you can think about your sense of safety and belonging in a different way. To state the problem in a way, in just in terms of the pure syntax and the language, that the problem can be solved. There's a lot of ways to state problems, and some of them, they really don't lend themselves to a solution just based on the phrasing, the syntax of how the problem is stated. So make sure that when you identify a problem, something that you want to change, that you notice the language and state it in a way that invites and is open to, accessible and available to a solution. Let's just make a couple of points about the water sign planets, because you're a water sign, the first of the four, and this is really a kind of really fantastic thing that there is a grand water sign, and you're lucky, well, lucky, I guess that's a Jupiter word, to have Jupiter in its sign of exaltation, your sign. And what we get with this is, first of all, probably the challenging point of this setup would be, let's see, how have I done the charts this way? Saturn in the 5th house. Now, of all these placements, show this to, 100 astrologers, the one they would probably say is the most challenging is Saturn in the 5th house. And the reason for that is that the 5th house is all about fun and pleasure, and Saturn is not the kind of thing that is believed by modern astrologers to lend itself to that. Plus, it's in Scorpio, and that can create either a sense of not enough sex, or this sex within the confines of this relationship is not enough. I want more, but I'm inside the confines of this commitment and this relationship, and I have no idea how to stretch beyond that. I don't really know what to do, and so there may be the sensation of being inside of something that you don't know how to get out of. And combining that with Mars retrograde in the 4th, we do get a message here, and that message is about confidence and what it would take for you to have confidence. And then, I think more significantly, what you would do if you had confidence. Were you fully confident in yourself? What would you do? What choices would you make? What would you let yourself do if you were confident? Imagine that. Okay, so let's check out the last of the water signs, and that's Pisces. And this is on your 9th house. And this is, I think I always think of Pisces on the 9th for the sign Cancer as being the inherently organic spirituality of Cancer. And that's because the 9th is a spiritual sign and Pisces is a spiritual house. Pisces is all about a direct connection to the cosmos. One thing I can say to you naturally, inherently, is you don't need anybody's religion telling you what to think or saying, here's this payphone. It's the only way to talk to God, but you can't actually touch the payphone. You've just got to put the money in. Somebody else is actually going to talk to God, and you can talk to them for a minute. You don't need that. That's not you. You need and have and possess the direct connection. And there's a couple of really revolutionary points in Pisces, in your 9th house. Among them, Nessus, a centaur, and Chiron, a centaur. And what they are saying is, this is your thing. This is your relationship to your higher power, higher self, the universe, the cosmos, God, the Virgin Mary, whatever else you might or might not include on that list. But whatever you consider to be the supreme cosmic intelligence is about your direct relationship. And you are abundant in this house. And not only are you abundant in this house, its representative, Jupiter, the traditional ruler of Pisces, is in your sign. And in your sign, it means that you have the ability to hold a sense of spiritual contact all the time, and that you do not need intermediaries. You don't need anybody getting in between you and your relationship with yourself or with the universe in which you live or with any other supernatural or natural, whatever you consider it, a presence or power or entity that exists. You're the one who makes contact. And it is potentially suspect if you are ever set up to be in the position of the one who doesn't actually get to make contact, because there is a chance in there that you're giving your power away. And whatever power of communication exists between you and this great spirit is right inside of you. It's not about seeking anything outside yourself. The other cool thing that Jupiter in your sign represents is Sagittarius on the 6th. The 6th is a combination of service and also the gift of healing. And this is also a beautiful commentary on how you are the one who is this central spiritual point of orientation. So back to where we began, right at the beginning, the one thing that the Grand Cross and the Grand Trine have in common, just one little planet, not that little, one planet that they have in common is Jupiter. Jupiter is in Cancer, in your sign, very nearly or exactly conjunct your sun. If you're born on July 4th, it's conjunct your sun. And that you are a kind of a resource, a kind of a resource that will be drawn on by many people, a point of orientation, a source of wisdom, a source of contact who I trust will be the one who points people in their own direction and encourages them to trust themselves. And that if you're called upon to be in the role of healer or facilitator in any way, that you'll be the kind of healer or facilitator who is conscious of the fact that every being holds their own inner healing power, and that as the facilitator, the most important thing you can do is assist others in orienting on their own inner light, on their own gift of personal renewal, which you have in abundance, in such abundance that everyone around you is noticing. You might be the last one, but I suspect you're noticing, but not necessarily just how amazing this really is. And really, just from an astrological standpoint, and I will include the article on the Grand Cross and the Grand Trine on the page where you're listening to these recordings, assuming you haven't downloaded them, but they are on the homepage of the Spring 2014 reading, the article about how this is all about trust, which explains the Grand Cross and the Grand Trine in a very structured way and shows the chart. I think from the standpoint of the Cancerian person, such as yourself, it is mighty cool and beautiful that Jupiter is the hub, the connection point of all of this crazy activity right now. And yet it is so solid and so beautiful in the sign Cancer, that the one thing that you're being reminded of over and over again is that you have every reason to be confident of yourself, every reason to trust. And in that confidence and in that trusting space, from there, it is quite okay to ask questions and to look at what needs resolution from the past, but most of all, to assert yourself as your own source of leadership. On that note, I will leave you. If you are Cancer Sun, I suggest you look up your rising sign and give that a listen. If you are more curious about this question of the changing traditions in your relationship, I would suggest that you look at the readings for Capricorn and Libra, both of which will speak to you in ways I have already described. And that's what I've got to say. So, good times. Take care of yourself so you can take care of others. And I will catch you either over in a different sign or on a different day. Bye for now.